الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Nawaitu Sunnat al-I'tikaf. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences related to sending salat upon the best of creation, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sends salat upon me once, Allah ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon him. And that recitation of Salat, an angel has been appointed to convey it to me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There was a famous king in Islamic history, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. As well as being a king, he was a very pious and devout worshipper, a muttaqi person, God-fearing. And alongside this, he had immense love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was most respectful of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What happened one day, he had a servant who was very dutiful to him. And that servant's name was Iyad. And Iyad had a son by the name Muhammad. And he would call out to the son, address the son by saying, Muhammad. One day what happened, instead of calling out to him using his name Muhammad, he said, O son of Iyad. When Iyad, the dutiful servant of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, heard this, he became concerned. And he thought to himself, is he calling my son by my name, meaning son of Iyad, because he's upset with him? Did my son do something wrong? So he came to the king and he said, O king, has something upset you? Has my son done something? And this is why you're not calling him by his name? Listen to what Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi alayhi replied. He said, no, nothing of that sort. It's not the case that your son did something to upset me, or he did something to displease me, and now because of that, I'm upset with him, I'm angered with him, and I'm not calling him by his name, Muhammad. Rather, the reason why I am referring to him as son of Iyad, to gain his attention, and not using his name, Muhammad, is because this name, Muhammad, is also the name of our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I have made it necessary upon myself to only mention the name Muhammad in a state of wudu. If I'm in a state of wudu, I will say that name. And if I am not in a state of wudu, I will never say that name. Views of Madani Channel and brothers in attendance. This incident tells us that the kings of the past, the rulers of the past, the Muslim rulers, subhanallah, there were mountains of piety and taqwa. Where they were God-fearing, they also loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than themselves. And this is just one example. If you think about it, it's not a sin, it's not gunah in terms of sharia to say the name Muhammad when you're not in a state of wudu. It's not a sin. But this is what you call adab towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is utmost adab. that Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullahi alayh cannot even bring himself to say the name Muhammad without being in a state of wudu. This is adab, this is ishq, and this is mahabba, and this is what we need to adopt in our lives as well. The more adab you have, the more blessings and barakat you will attain in the dunya, and more importantly in the akhirah as well. Subhanallah. So we just heard an account regarding the name Muhammad. Let's just listen to some information regarding the blessed names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many names does he possess, and things like this. So, a great scholar, Muhammad Mahdi Fasi Maliki rahmatullahi alayhi, has said that Allah Ta'ala has 1,000 names, and so does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Another linguist, a notable linguist, scholar and lexicographer by the name of Ibn al-Faris, he also discusses this, the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says the Prophet alayhi wasallam has more than 2,000 hallowed names, 2,000 revered names, respectable names. Each of them illustrates a part of his biography or virtuous character in one way or another. Subhanallah. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, what does he say regarding the blessed names Asma'un Nabi? He says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has two personal names, dhati names, Muhammad and Ahmad. Ahmad is his name in the previous scriptures, and as you know, it's his name in the heavens. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his blessed name on the earth. And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma says, in terms of the blessed character of the Prophet alayhi salam and names related to his character, then he says these are innumerable. These are too many to mention, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's characteristics, subhanallah, are more than we can even imagine. Allah Ta'ala blessed him. He was the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Now this was an account that I mentioned about a previous ruler, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi, rahmatullahi alayhi, an Ashiqi Rasul, king of his time. Now someone may ask, that's fine, but I want an example from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did the Sahaba show adab and mahabba towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the reality is that the way they showed mahabba, we can never even come close. We are not even equal to the dust beneath the feet of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. These were those beings that Allah Ta'ala directly praised in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. Wa kullam wa'adallahu al-husna. And look at the peak of glad tidings. Allah Ta'ala has said that we have promised paradise. Allah Ta'ala has promised paradise for all the Sahaba. Al-husna in this verse refers to Jannah, paradise. Anyhow, this account is from the life of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara with his Sahaba, he was forced to do so. The Muslims were being persecuted in Makkah al-Mukarramah. One year in the sixth Hijri in the month of Zulqa'dah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to perform Umrah. He was in Madinah al-Munawwara. He wanted to go to Makkah al-Mukarramah and perform Umrah. Baytullah al-Haram, Ka'batul Musharrafah is where? In Makkah al-Mukarramah. So the Prophet ﷺ traveled with 1,400 companions. They're in a state of ihram. They're wearing the white cloth, pieces of cloth. They're traveling. And the Prophet ﷺ suspected that the kuffar of Makkah, the disbelievers there, will not let the Muslims perform tawaf. The Prophet ﷺ sensed this. And what he did, he first sent a person from the tribe of Khuza'a to Makkah to find out what the disbelievers were going to do. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ and his companions reached a place called Usfan, the person sent by the Prophet ﷺ returned, and he explained how all the Arab tribes had come together, had united, and they decided that no Muslim would be allowed to enter Makkah al-Mukarramah and perform tawaf, perform umrah of the holy pilgrimage. They decided this, just as the Prophet ﷺ sensed that this would be the case. Then the Prophet ﷺ took the companions on a different route, and they went and camped at Hudaybiyah, the famous location, Hudaybiyah. When they reached Hudaybiyah, the Prophet ﷺ found out that the disbelievers, the kuffar, they want to have a war with the Muslims. They want to go to battle with the Muslims. They're thirsty for their blood. Now the Muslims in the state of ihram, they're not in any position to fight or go to battle. So what the Prophet ﷺ did was, he decided to send a companion to speak to the disbelievers of Makkah to discuss a peaceful truce, sulah, an amicable resolution. First of all, he thought, I will send Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Then for whatever reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his mind. And he decided to send Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala instead. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, he reached Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he told the disbelievers, look, Muslims are not desirous of war or anything like that. They've come to perform Umrah. That's all they want to do. You disbelievers, you kuffar of Quraysh, obviously he didn't use these words, but you guys want war, the Muslims don't want war. At that time, the disbelievers of Makkah, they respected Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan. Why? Because he helped the tribe out. He was respectable amongst the people. And he wasn't a mischievous person. We know he was a very pious man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did not mistreat him at all. In fact, what they said to him is, the Muslims aren't allowed to perform Umrah, but we will allow you to perform Umrah if you want. You can perform tawaf, you can perform sa'i, whatever you want. Now think about it. Ask any Muslim on earth, would you take up the opportunity to perform Umrah all alone if you had the chance? Meaning nobody is there in Masjid al-Haram except for you performing tawaf and sa'i and performing Umrah. So of course that would be an honor, meaning the only person to be performing tawaf, subhanAllah. But look at Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They said to him, perform tawaf, perform Umrah, but we will not allow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come near the Kaaba. Listen to what Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said. Famous words. He said, I can never perform Umrah without the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He returned to Hudaybiyah and the companions welcomed him. And the companions thought he must have performed Umrah. That they offered him to perform Umrah, he must have performed it. So they began asking him that you had the honor of doing tawaf, you had the honor of going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, again displaying his loyalty towards the Prophet alayhi salam, his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I take an oath by he who has power over my soul, meaning Allah ta'ala has power over all the souls, I take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I had stayed in Makkah for an entire year, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stayed in Hudaybiyah, where he was camping, I would not have performed the tawaf of the Kaaba unless he did so first. Unless my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did tawaf first, I would never have performed it, even if I stayed there for an entire year. The Quraysh offered me to perform tawaf, but I refused, I said no. This account that I just mentioned is in Dala'ilun Nubuwa, amongst many other books. This is an account from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the mahabba of the Sahaba towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unmatched. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan is in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The disbelievers are saying to him, perform tawaf, perform umrah. You're the only one here, go ahead. But we won't allow the Prophet ﷺ to come near here. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu said, no, no chance. And he told the Sahaba upon his return, you think I performed tawaf, you think I performed umrah, even if I stayed in Makkah for an entire year, I would never have performed tawaf before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was the ishq, this was the adab, this was the respect and reverence that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in possessed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disbelievers, when they saw this adab, when they witnessed this high level of adab and respect that the companions of the Prophet alayhi salam showed towards him, they were left speechless. And they would tell people, for example, Sayyidina Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, but when he related this, he wasn't a Muslim at that time. He wasn't a Sahabi. And he was asked, how do the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treat him? And he used to go with delegations. He used to visit big, big leaders. He visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And listen to what he said. By Allah, I have taken many delegations into the courts of numerous kings. I have been to Caesar, the king of Rome. I have been to Kisra, the king of Iran. I've been to all of these kingdoms. Yet I take an oath by Allah, I have never seen a king respected by his companions the way Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is respected by his companions. Nobody comes close to that. And then he explains, he says, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take saliva out of his blessed mouth, the companions would ensure that it came onto their palms. Think about it, in this life of ours, this short life of ours, do you think there will ever come a moment where if we take saliva out of our mouth, somebody would want to be the one who gains the honor of taking it on his hands, on his palms? Of course not. Our saliva is not worthy. But this is the saliva belonging to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is mentioned in books of hadith, books of Shama'il, this narration, that the Prophet alayhi salam removes saliva from his mouth. The companions are eager to take it in their own hands. And he continues, he say, they would rub it onto their faces, on their bodies. This goes to show that the saliva of the Prophet ﷺ is not like our saliva. Nothing that the Prophet ﷺ possessed is like ours. Meaning he is far beyond our intellect. His perspiration, it would smell of the best fragrance. Our perspiration, if you don't have a shower, body odor, we all know about that. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba would be able to recognize which path the Prophet alayhi wa sallam took because of that distinct fragrance that would emanate from his body. And there's so many narrations in this regard. He continues, Sayyidina Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, whenever he issued an order for them, a hukam, a command, they would immediately act upon it. When he made wudu, when he performed ablution, it's as though his companions would come close to battling one another just so that they could take a drop or two of that leftover or that wudu water that came off his blessed body. Subhanallah. Whenever he spoke, they lowered their voices. Out of utmost respect, reverence, and manners, they did not even raise their eyes to look at him fully. This is how much adab they had towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned that this is in hadith. This is in the most authentic book of hadith you will find. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. That this is how the Prophet's companions alayhi murdwan would treat him, would act before him. Utmost adab. And unfortunately today, we've lost that. Ma'azallah, you have people entertaining conversations where they're comparing the Prophet alayhi salam to themselves. Na'udhu billah, using such words that you cannot even bring to your tongue, saying he's an ordinary human being. The Quran says Bashar, but they haven't studied the Quran in depth, and they don't realize that from the 19 maqamat where Bashar has been used for the Anbiya and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 15 of those places are where the disbelievers themselves refer to the prophets as Bashar. Only 4 maqamat you will find where Anbiya described themselves as Bashar, our Prophet ﷺ described himself as Bashar, but he qualified that, meaning he added an adjective, a description. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. I am a man, I am a human being like you. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. Revelation is sent to me. So people need to realize whose way are they following by saying Bashar time and time again to describe the Prophet ﷺ. They forget every other characteristic. The Sahaba didn't do that. The Sahaba would anticipate his saliva. The Sahaba would anticipate his wudu water. They would rush towards it to gain barakah and tabarruk. And here, 14 centuries later, people, ma'azallah, have completely distorted understanding. And they begin to compare themselves to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, our ulama have said, لا يُقَاسُ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ. Nobody can be compared to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sahaba themselves did i'tiraf, acknowledged, لَسْنَا بِمِثْلِكَ, that none of us are like you. There's a lengthy narration, I'm not going to go into it, but where the Prophet ﷺ would fast day after day after day after day. The Sahaba tried to do that, but they would suffer immense weakness. The Prophet ﷺ said to them himself, أَيُّكُمْ مِثْلِي, who amongst you is like me? That you are trying to copy me, but my Lord feeds me. My Lord Jalla Jalaluhu gives me nourishment. So the Prophet ﷺ is in a league of his own. His maqam is beyond our comprehension. So going back to it, respecting the Prophet ﷺ, showing adab towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a requirement of our faith. Let me mention a verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem and explain it in light of what the ulama have said. This verse is in Surah Fath, verse 8 and 9. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. Translation: we have indeed sent you, O beloved, as a present eyewitness and a conveyor of glad tidings and a warner, in order that, O people, you may believe in Allah and His Messenger and honor and revere the Messenger, meaning the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you should glorify Allah morning and evening. Subhanallah. Qadi Iyad Maliki rahmatullahi alayhi, a great scholar of the past, a Maliki jurist, he explains this verse. And he says, Allah Ta'ala has commanded people to show respect and reverence to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and has declared this to be compulsory. If you look at the tarteeb of this verse, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala first says, لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, believe in Allah. Without faith, nothing is accepted. You know, if somebody says, I respect the Prophet ﷺ, but he doesn't believe, then that's not going to be accepted from him. If somebody says, I perform namaz or I give in charity, but he doesn't believe in Allah, it's not accepted from him. The first requirement is to embrace faith. Become a Muslim, become a mu'min. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Straight away after that, Allah Ta'ala says, لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. The second thing is about honoring and respecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. Respect him and honor him. And then the third thing mentioned in the verse, وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And you should glorify Allah morning and evening. The scholars say, in light of this verse, first of all, iman is utmost. Then after iman, you have respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then thirdly comes the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning first you must believe in Allah and His Messenger. Then you must show respect to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then worship is accepted from you. So if somebody performs ibadah, performs hajj, salah, gives zakat, fasts in Ramadan, but he uses, ma'adhallah, disrespectful words for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's all rejected. So the tarteeb of this word, of this verse, the arrangement, the order of this verse tells us that after accepting iman, it's foremost to respect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after that, your ibadat comes, as you have just heard from this verse of Al-Quranul Kareem. And adab is a part of our deen. Everyone knows, child must respect their parents. In the workplace, an employee must honor the employer. It works both ways as well. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ spoke about how the young should respect the elders, the elders. In a hadith, he said, "Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana wa yuqir kabirana." The Prophet ﷺ said, those who do not show mercy to our young ones and those who do not respect our elders, they are not from us. The Prophet ﷺ says he has nothing to do with those who do not show raham, mercy to the young ones, and those who do not show adab to the elders. And when it comes to adab, when it comes to ta'zeem, when it comes to respect and honor, in all of creation, the blessed individual who is to be respected the most is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all of creation, Allah Ta'ala is Khaliq, He is not creation. Now, in Al-Quranul Kareem, which is the guidance for all, we're taught about adab towards the Anbiya alayhim salam, why it's important, what's the result of those who, ma'azallah, disrespect the Anbiya alayhim salam. And many mufassireen have written, including Jalaluddin Amjadi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says that the first kufr that was committed was due to showing disrespect towards a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When insan was created, the first kufr that was committed was showing disrespect and insult towards a Nabi of Allah. And you may know when this was. This was when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was created, Allah Ta'ala ordered the angels and Iblis. Iblis is Mu'allimul Malakut at that time. He was the teacher of the angels. He wasn't an angel himself. But he had ascended the heights, he had reached a maqam where he was Mu'allimul Malakut. But in one instant, one bit of disrespect, Allah Ta'ala exiled him from his noble court. He was made outcast, rejected, he became a disbeliever. Why? Because he refused to respect Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And what form did that respect take on? Allah Ta'ala said, prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Prostrate to this prophet. So the first kufr that was committed after creation, after Allah Ta'ala created insan, was disrespect towards a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a very, very sensitive matter. It needs to be highlighted, because whenever we speak about the Anbiya alayhi salam, we have to use the most respectful words. In fact, a point to be mentioned here, wherever in the Quran the prophets and messengers alayhi salam describe themselves, and out of humbleness they use words for themselves which gives the impression that they were disobedient or they were wrongdoers. Besides recital of Al-Quranul Kareem, besides Qira'atul Quran, we are not to discuss those verses. And of course, we are never to, ma'adhallah, denigrate a prophet or try to show that the prophet in this maqam, he referred to himself as a zalim, for example. In this dua, he mentioned this word, or in this dua, he mentioned this word for himself. And based on that, ma'adhallah, we start doing tabsira, we start discussing and saying, the prophet sinned as well, the prophets did this as well. Whereas we know it's the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the aqeedah of Muslims, that the Anbiya alayhimus salam are ma'soom anil khata. They are immune from sins. They don't sin. Allah Ta'ala protects them. And wherever in the Quran they have used certain words for themselves, this is out of humbleness. And the ulama state that the Anbiya describing themselves in that manner in the court of Allah is fine for them to do. They are the ones saying it. But for another person, for example, if we today start opening the Quran and start picking out these things, we are sinful from head to toe ourselves. And then we begin to, ma'azallah, speak about a prophet of Allah in a way that is disrespectful. That's very dangerous for iman. that endangers iman. So the khulasa of the bayan today, adab towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is very important. We heard how the sahaba, they would go almost go to battle to try and take the wudu water that touched the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would catch the saliva of the Prophet alayhi salam in their hands. They would rub it on their face and their bodies. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, but we don't study, unfortunately. All of these things are mentioned there. And nobody knew about the adab of the Prophet alayhi salam more than the Sahaba. Yes, nobody says the Prophet alayhi salam is God. He's a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in creation, he's the best of all creation, the best of all human beings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand the deen and understand the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in in respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may we follow suit as well. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.